According to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate their father and mother, spouse and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even their life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not give up all their possessions cannot be my disciple." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So today I'm going to try something a little bit different and preach from here, just to shake things up a little bit. And also I want to share a little bit more personally later on, so I thought it might be good to do it from here. But first of all, I just want to remember what Jesus said today in the Gospel, because it's pretty extraordinary. He says, "Whoever does not come to me, or whoever comes to me, and does not hate father or mother, spouse and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Now, that's really extraordinary. I mean, nobody in their right mind would want to hate their family, their parents, their brothers and sisters, or even life. I mean, people who do that, they're usually very, very sick. So what does Jesus really mean here? And I think what he means is tied into something he said just a couple of weeks ago in the Gospel. A couple of weeks ago, he said, "I've come not to bring peace to the world, but division. From now on, in one house, they will be divided. Father against son, son against father. Daughter against mother, mother against daughter. Daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law." So that's always also a very hard saying from Jesus. I mean, who wants to live in a family where people are always arguing and at each other's throats and are divided and estranged from one another? And yet Jesus is saying that if we follow him, these things can sometimes happen. And I think basically Jesus here is trying to be very honest with us and help us to realize that if we choose to follow him, if we choose to belong to God, that we need to put God first in our hearts and in our lives. And when we put God first, when we're all in for God, and he's first in our hearts and our lives, that will sometimes cause opposition with those people who do not have God first in their lives. And many of those people could be from our own families, could also be out of places of work or in society. So Jesus is being very honest. And the early Christians experienced that. They knew that. For example, if you lived in the first 300 years of the church, back in the Roman Empire, you could not be a soldier because soldiers were required to burn incense to the gods, the Roman gods, and that was a sign of their loyalty to the state. So if you didn't do that, you weren't considered loyal, and you couldn't be a soldier. You also could not be a teacher, because teachers are required to teach the children that there are many, many different gods, the Roman gods, and these are real gods. So if you're a Christian who believes in only one God, you can't do that. You can't do both. Also, the early Christians could not go to the Colosseum, because in the Colosseum, that was where Roman gladiators would fight one another to the death. And they couldn't go to the baths, where there was a lot of immoral behavior. And they couldn't burn incense to Caesar. And so at the very best, early Christians were looked upon with great suspicion by many and as being as untrustworthy. And at the very worst, they were looked at as being traitors to their country, and they could risk imprisonment and even death. And so to be a Christian in the first centuries, it really cost something. So what Jesus was saying today was really true, and it often divided families. Because when somebody among the early church became a Christian, the other members in the family who did not yet were not Christians, they couldn't understand what had happened to their brother, their sister, their son, or their daughter, why they would take these extreme risks. It seemed ludicrous to them. And so it often did divide families. And the same is true in our culture today. Maybe not as extreme, at least not here in North America. But for example, if we want to be true followers of Christ, there's certain jobs that we cannot do in our culture. We cannot be a doctor who will go along with assisted suicide. It's just incompatible. We cannot be a nurse who is willing to participate in abortions. If we're a researcher, we cannot be a researcher and experiment on human embryos. If we want to go into politics, we cannot, as a politician, support these things like abortion and euthanasia and then claim to be faithful followers of Christ. It's not possible. If we were to become a justice of the peace, we could not marry same-sex marriages, be involved in that. There are certain jobs, even in today's culture, that if we want to be faithful to Christ, we just cannot do them. And also, it's the same in families, often families today are also divided. And here's where I just want to share a little bit more from my own family growing up. As you know, I was not a Catholic growing up, and when I was at university down in Halifax at Dalhousie University, that's when I became a Catholic in my last year at university. And when I told my parents about my thoughts that I was going to become a Catholic, they tried their very best to talk me out of it. And they told me all kinds of reasons why it wasn't a good idea. They wrote letters, they called me, they tried to persuade me to wait until I got home so we could talk about it. But I didn't do that. I became a Catholic and then went back home. And then now, being a Catholic and a true believer, I wanted to take some time every day to pray, read a little bit in the Bible, and on Sundays go to Mass. It was just sort of a normal thing to do now for me. I had a full-time job, went out with friends, and lived the normal life in every other way, but my parents could not understand my change. And so they argued with me. Sunday Mass interferes with family plans. You don't have to go every Sunday. That's being fanatical. You're a fanatic. I remember reading the Bible downstairs for a little bit, and my dad came down one day really angry, and he just ordered me to close the Bible and come upstairs and join everybody at that TV and be a normal person again. We argued about everything that had to do with faith. I remember a family member saying to me, well, it's nice that you believe in God, but it's a nice thing to think that there's a God, but it's kind of like believing in leprechauns and that there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's a nice thing, but it's not real. Or a family member saying, well, they believe in abortion, that should be allowed. Family members would encourage me to underreport on income tax, and if we were crossing the border coming from another country, so I wouldn't have to pay duty. I remember on one occasion somebody saying to me in the family, what are you wearing around your neck? You know, the brown scapular? What are you wearing that rag for? It looks stupid. Take it off. You know, just all these things, whenever it came up. There was never any kind of harmony when it came to faith in the family. And then I decided after about a few years to go into the seminary. It didn't get any better. Dad was angry and yelling at me. You know, if I would have known this, I would have never had you. Mom cried a lot. She thought I was going to be choosing to live a lonely, isolated, unhappy life, you know, and then they would be concerned for me. What happened to me? Did I have an experience with a woman that really hurt me? Am I gay? You know, am I running away from society and responsibility by hiding in the church? You know, what's wrong with you? That's sort of what I was getting. Now, I understood where they were coming from because they grew up in Europe and were children during the Hitler years, and they were growing up in a family that really didn't support religion very much at all, didn't understand it. They had a lot of misconceptions, a lot of fears, so I understood it. But it still left me, at times, feeling angry, hurt, confused, helpless, not knowing what to do. So it was very difficult, but that's very minor compared to what other people in the world are going through today, here and now. I know a priest in our diocese right now who's a pastor in a parish, and he had to escape from a communist country. He had to escape in one of those overloaded, crowded boats and didn't know if they were going to make it to the other side of the ocean or not. Another priest I know who serves in a parish in our diocese, also from a communist country, was interned and imprisoned and had to escape and then escape from the country in order to come here. Another priest I know who's serving in our diocese, he was thrown in jail and beaten simply because he was on the wrong political side. And someone else I know, when he was preaching about corruption in his country and politics and in high places, when he was going home, somebody came up to him and put a gun to his head and said, "That's none of your business. You better stop preaching like that." And he didn't know if the guy was going to pull the trigger or not. And these are priests serving in our diocese right now. And the United Nations, they estimate every year 100 to 150,000 Christians are killed every year just simply for being Christian. And so when Jesus said today that what he says in the gospel, that whoever comes to me and does not hate father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, and even life itself cannot be my disciple, he was speaking the truth. It's still true today, that if we want to follow Christ and put him first in our hearts and in our lives, sometimes we will experience real opposition from others. And sometimes even within our own families. But in my situation, when this opposition was happening, I kind of decided, well, I can't change. I can't go back to what I used to be because I had come to really believe in Jesus with my whole heart. And I had experienced God's love in my heart numerous times in a way that is just beyond anything I had ever imagined was possible. And I knew that by saying yes to Jesus, I was saying yes to God and to life and to truth and to goodness. So I couldn't turn back, and I just had to entrust my family to God's mercy. And so today might be a good idea to reaffirm our own commitment to Christ. You know, trusting in his merciful help for us and for our loved ones. And we can also ask prayers of her who always responded to God by saying, "Let your will be done," or "I'm the handmaid of the Lord, let as you have said be done unto me."